This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So how much time off from work do you get each year? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? A month, maybe? Well, if you worked for a company like Veracode, a software firm in Burlington, you could take as much time away as you wanted and still get paid.
Pretty sweet. Sounds too good to be true, but in fact, it's becoming more common, particularly among small tech firms. But as the Boston Globe noted this week, a handful of larger companies are embracing the idea of unlimited vacations as well, including Netflix and Best Buy.
Only a small share of American companies, just 1%, offer the benefit, but the trend is growing. One recruiter quoted by the Globe estimates that as many as 10% of the tech firms he works with offer unlimited vacations. Proponents say they help employees by fostering a sense of freedom and personal responsibility, and they help companies because they cut down on administrative costs while promoting trust and loyalty among workers.
Listeners, do you work for a company that offers unlimited vacations, or for a company that could? Do you think it's a good idea or an idea that's too good to be true? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston.
And here with us in the studio is Vivian Vitale. She's the Executive Vice President of Human Resources at Veracode, the Burlington-based software firm that offers unlimited vacations to its employees. And welcome to the program, Vivian. Good to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me here today.
Also with us by phone is Fred Folks. He's Professor of Organizational Behavior and Director of Human Resources Policy at Policy Institute at Boston University School of Management. And Professor Folks, thanks for joining us. And I understand you're on vacation, so we appreciate you. We appreciate you coming to the phone.
That's true, but nice to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you. I'm going to start with you, Vivian, with just a couple of questions to sort of set this up. But explain how an unlimited vacation policy works at Veracode.
Well, we started out doing this past January, and we had a policy that was a combination of vacation time and sick time, really, paid time off, we called it, which was about 18 days per year. And what we found was our employees were really working a lot on their vacation. They would often work after hours and on weekends. And, you know, it just seemed silly to us to really track their vacation time when we didn't track what time they were working, in fact, on non-work hours. And so that was, I think, the primary motivation. The other motivation is, you know, HR and finance would spend a lot of times administering a vacation accrual because it's something that needs to be carried on a company's books. Mm-hmm. And not all employees are good about tracking their time. Not all managers are good about approving that time. And so we found that in some ways there was also a fairness issue around who was recording time and who wasn't. And at the end of the day, a lot of time spent trying to manage an accrual that was really meaningless. And what we wanted to do is really focus more on results and treat our employees more as adults. And we knew some companies were adopting this unlimited vacation time, and it sounded like something that we should try.
So, obvious question. You weren't worried, for example, that some of your employees would just sort of take off for a couple of months in the summer and just sort of disappear, drop out of sight? I mean, that would seem to be the obvious concern about one of the obvious concerns about something like this.
You know, we have a group of very dedicated employees, and we try to focus again on results. And I think everybody there is, you know, we're building something of value at Veracode, and the employees are excited to be there. Really, our worry was the opposite. Our worry was without a structured vacation policy that our employees wouldn't take any time.
Well, what about that? Because that's one of the sort of questions, one of the concerns I read about that we live in this 24/7 work culture. I'm sure Veracode is like a lot of tech firms where people are hardworking, work long hours. I mean, in other words, is this policy, does it encourage them to take the time they need, or instead does it mask essentially this high-octane work culture, and sure, take as much time as you need, but good luck getting the work done.
You know, I think that I there were actually a lot of comments to the Globe article, you know, in that regard. I looked at those after it ran yesterday. I think what we did in the beginning was we started out our CEO. We run a town meeting every month to talk to our employees about what's going on. And our CEO said, hey, you know, he was going to be taking 3-4 weeks off for the year. The management is sort of modeling the behavior. Myself, I've taken, you know, close to 3 weeks off this year as well. You know, that said, you know, the first week that I took off was a busy time period for us. So I did work a lot on that vacation, but I appreciated having the flexibility to take time for my family. My husband's a teacher, and it was important for us to take a time that was also a busy time at work.
Sure. Now, I understand that you weren't always in support of unlimited vacation policies. What reservations did you have, and what changed your mind?
Well, back really 5 years ago, I worked for a company called Unica that's since been purchased by IBM. And CEO of that company had heard about the Best Buy practice. They were really, you know, early innovators in this area and wanted us to try it. And my hesitations were around, you know, would you have difficulty managing if people had a disability, for example, or some sort of other leave of absence, or, you know, would that company had a fairly large vacation on the books for people, and how would we, did we have the ability to sort of pay that out to people? That was sort of my reservations around it. And what changed my thinking, honestly, is that company ended up being bought by IBM, as I mentioned, and IBM is a 400,000 person company now, and many of their employees work remotely, and actually a company that large does have set amounts of vacation time, but it also does not track time. And I saw how that worked, and I also saw when you had a remote workforce that the focusing on results is really the only way that you can do it. And that's another thing at Veracode, is we have about 25% of our employees work remotely. So you really have to trust people to do the work and to do it in the time frame that makes sense for them.
Well, listeners, we're talking about the idea of unlimited vacations. It's an idea that at least a good number of small tech firms in the Boston area, elsewhere around the country as well, we mentioned some larger companies, are adopting as well. Do you think it's a good idea? Is it workable? Do you work for a company with unlimited vacation time? How does it work? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Professor Fred Folks, let me come to you, your sort of first response. Obviously, this isn't going to work for every company, but what do you think about this as an idea for companies?
Well, certainly as a to help recruiting, it would be very attractive if it's advertised that unlimited vacation versus a traditional company where you get 2 weeks the first year, then you have to earn a day a month to sort of make that happen. But then the question is, once you join the company, is it real, and how is it actually administered? If you sort of discover that the culture is such that people brag about, you know, I worked the last 3 weekends, I spent 2 nights in the office last week, and so and so spent 3 nights in the office, then sort of, you know, is it? And then the other issue is, if the policy actually, if this clarity is administered well and consistency in a fair sort of way, if the employee has a spouse who works for a traditional company that you have to give in advance the 2 weeks you're going to be away or whatever, it could cause some issues within within families. So I think, you know, it can fit some smaller companies, high-tech software companies, younger workforce, particularly single employees. But I don't know, you know, how much applicability it has to sort of larger companies with a more diverse workforce.
Yeah, go ahead, Vivian.
I disagree with that in some ways. We have a pretty diverse workforce, and though we're a technology company, our average age is probably about 37 years old, and we probably have 4 generations, you know, working in our workplace. And we kind of position this not so much as unlimited vacation time, but take what you need vacation policy. And what we found with maybe some of the people who are, you know, baby boomers, they may be empty nesters and want the time off to travel a little bit more. The other generations, you know, want the time for their families and are able to have flexibility around, you know, attending a children's work school situation or something like that. And then, you know, with the younger workers, they enjoy their leisure time. So it actually has been a benefit that everyone at our company has really enjoyed. And it has been an excellent recruitment tool Particularly for a company at our stage, we don't yet offer some of the more traditional benefits because we're early stage, such as like a 401k match or educational assistance. So things we hope to add later. But right now, this is something we can provide to our employees that gives us a competitive advantage.
And Fred Folk,
would happen if an employee had just done a great job and been working weekends and long hours, and in October gets the project done and the customer is happy, et cetera, and said, I'm out of here. I'm going to Hawaii for a month.
Well,
can the organization handle that?
I think so. I think what we end up doing is, we do try to provide for coverage. As the company has grown, we have more resources now to cover one another. I think that's one of the advantages in maybe some of the technology companies is that when workers go out, typically the other workers absorb the work or it's waiting for the person when they return from work. Whereas in other industries, you'd have to maybe, hire in help to cover and it wouldn't be feasible from a cost standpoint. But, what we do in terms of how we administer this is, the normal protocols you would follow in terms of letting your boss know when you're going to take some time off, planning for coverage while you're out, making sure that things are covered, that happens and people take responsibility for doing that.
Mm. Let me ask you both this, and I'll start with you, Fred Folks. I mean, obviously, there are industries that would have a more difficult time applying this idea, like manufacturing, the food industry. Is there any merit? I mean, can this be applied in any way? Companies that are not focused on long-term projects, companies that are focused on the daily output of a product. I mean, for example, our industry, we have to get a show on there every day. It would be chaos if people could just take off whenever they wanted to. But Fred, do you see any applicability to other industries with this?
Well, if the company could justify it, if a large company may have elements within the company, for example, Staples has a sort of a high-tech workforce in Kenmore Square, and the extent to which they could run a policy different there than they're running in Framingham, it might work to parts of certain companies.
Yeah. What about you, Vivian? I'd like to ask the same question to you.
Yeah, I agree with Fred's comments on that. I think that, you could apply it situationally. I think that the main thing that was really behind this policy is what I have found always has worked best is treating employees as adults, making people responsible for their work and allowing people to make a difference. And I think that applies to every industry, and to the degree that companies' practices and policies support that, I think a company is going to be more productive and ultimately more profitable.
Let me introduce Levi Felix. He's the founder of Digital Detox. It's an organization that promotes mindful relationships with technology, and the director of Camp Grounded. That's a summer camp for adults, and he joins us today from Oakland, California. And Levi Felix, thanks for joining Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
So I really like your response to this. You've based your career on the idea that people need to have a healthy relationship with their work and particularly with their technology. So what do you make of the idea of unlimited vacation? Is it a good idea where possible? What are your concerns or your thoughts about this?
Well, when I initially hear it, I get really excited. The 18-year-old in me gets, super stoked that I can leave at any moment and go work from beach and take time off and, always be connected and disconnected. But then when I sit back and think about, what's going on in the workplace with technology and with social pressures and personal pressures, and also, FOMO, fear of missing out, and everything that's involved in being, in the digital world of Facebook and even aside from the workplace, I think it's actually almost a mask for time off and in really getting people to spend more time working. The stats are showing that, we're spending 30% of our time, using the web, and 60% of Americans admit to being addicted to the internet, and almost the same number of people, say vacations actually don't relieve their stress because they end up working half of their time during their vacation. So I feel like the idea of unlimited vacation time is really just setting up employees for failure and not really taking the time they need off, because really, let's face it, we all need time off from work to regroup, refocus, re-energize, and go back recharged.
So what's the response to that? Of course, Vivian, I'm going to invite you to respond to Levi in just a moment. But Levi, what's your response to that? I mean, what should companies do instead? Or what might they do instead to improve these policies?
Yeah, and I avoid using the word should because I think every company is different, right? All the employees' needs are different. So I think really assessing, you know, what the company looks like and what people are doing within the company, and providing them with opportunities to really grow. So I think empowering employees with opportunities and with vacations or even retreats, or, you know, focused time off. I call it time on. So, you know, I think they should be tracking, you know, kind of in the opposite of what Valerie said, I think they should be tracking how much time employees are spending on themselves. So whether it's, you know, investing in a yoga retreat or investing on hiking or investing camping or investing into employees going off and learning cooking classes, you know, investing in the employees' personal growth and time away from work will make them more creative and more powerful in the workplace. And so,
Are you saying, just to be really clear, Levi, are you saying that companies really should be more involved in what their employees do during their time off?
So I think it should be, you know, I think it should be both, right? I think there should be time off. I mean, the average American right now is only taking 6 days of paid vacation a year. We're not even taking all of our paid vacation time off because mm-hmm. there's so much social pressure. I mean, there's what Valerie was saying about people, you know, when you go on vacation, whether it's a month, we can find someone to fill your spot. But when someone fills your spot, now you're worried that you might not get that raise you needed, or you might not be in a competitive mode anymore. So there's so much competition. So to answer your question, I think we need to give people paid time off. Straight up, you know, we need to provide our employees the opportunity to say, you have this many days off, and take it, please take it. In addition, we're going to invest in your personal growth. So you're going to give you 3 days, or we're going to give you X amount of money a year to spend on an opportunity that will make you a better person. So this year, for example, I run retreats. We went to Cambodia, and a big organization in Los Angeles sent two of their employees who'd been working at their PR firm for about 10 years. And after 10 years, they get, you know, a pretty nice budget to go on a retreat or go on vacation that invests in their personal wellness. So when we took them to Cambodia, it had to be all these requirements of unplugging, not looking at a screen, practicing something that will make you more fit, eating healthy. And so they looked at a number of opportunities and came to us and some of their other colleagues, you know, go on things like treks. So
we get the idea, Levi. Vivian Vitale, let me come to you. How about what Levi is talking about? That is, companies investing sort of more directly in their employees' time off to really make sure that it happens.
Well, I think that we, you know, we've been doing that actually. One of the, as I mentioned earlier, concerns that we have that people wouldn't take the time. So we actually have been, you know, making sure our managers make sure their people take time off. And we, you know, and we also have been, like I said, you know, setting an example. The leadership team of the company is doing that as well. And so, you know, my guess, you know, because we're not tracking it now, I don't know. Last year we had, you know, 18 days that people could take. I think people are taking about the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. But I think what happens is by changing the restriction on the policy, people feel liberated because they can make the choice about what they want to do. And they may be more apt to take a day than they may have been before. But I do very much agree with the commentary that people want an investment in them. And the more that companies can do that and invest in people's personal and professional development, that's what people want today.
You said you've been doing this just since this past January. Is there any way to measure this? I mean, do you feel like it's working? And if so, how do you measure that? How do you know that?
Well, you know, we just one of the practices we started at Veracode is we do an employee climate survey every 6 months. Initially, I started with the company last year, so I did it last July as a way of really just getting a baseline for where things were at. And then we ran the same survey again in February of this past year and then again in July. And one of the things we measure is employee satisfaction in various areas, including around their pay and their benefits. And we got very good increase in that score in the past 6 months with a lot of favorable comments around the fact that people appreciated us treating them with trust and respect.
Sure. Listeners, we're talking about this idea of unlimited vacation, or leaving the choice about how often you go on vacation and for how long up to each individual, up to each employee. It's something that's happening in a number of companies around the Boston area and across the country. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Tell us if you've had experience with this, how it's worked out. 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Fred Folks, let me come back to you. What's the alternative, do you think, to unlimited vacation? I mean, I ask this question in the context of, you know, in America, it's well known we don't take nearly as many vacations as many countries in the developed world. So what's the alternative? How can employers make sure their employees take enough time and that they make the most of the time they take off?
Well, I think Vivian's earlier point was a really good one in terms of what is the behavior, what are the role models, the people at the top, at the extent of, you know, herself and the CEO. Because so many times, particularly in these smaller companies, the founder and engineer is simply a workaholic and sort of works all the time and has all his energy into the company. And if that's sort of the signal coming down from the top, it affects everybody else. I mean, an example of a big company in the Boston area, when a friend of mine was joining as the head of HR, he talked to the CEO and said, well, you know, what are your real priorities? And the CEO said, well, you know, first for me, it's the company, it's the job. Second is the church, and third is the family. And this head of HR said, well, for me, I need to tell you, those aren't my values, it's a different one. Mm-hmm. So I think, clarifying the values with respect to time off, because the earlier point, the call-in person, the people who aren't refreshed, who work all the time, but sometimes the cultures of these companies are such that if you're sort of don't work until 7 or 8 o'clock at night, or don't put in all night or every now and then, your view is not really sort of on the team. And sometimes there's, in the early stage, companies are trying to get market acceptance, become profitable. A lot of these companies give everyone stock options. So if the thing is going to be successful, the people have a chance to sort of hit a home run. So they'll do everything that's required in the short term to make that happen.
Well, let's take a call. Mike is calling from Newton. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to call in. This policy, I see it going around more and more, and I work in the tech industry, and my company actually does it. I'm actually on a day off right now. But I've worked for two companies that had this policy, and neither of them I liked it. It seemed like a social experiment around who was actually going to take time off, and just to kind of, I basically saw that nobody was taking any time off at all.
Hmm. So, and why was that? Was that because of the pressure to keep working?
It's the pressure to keep working. It's the fact that you don't really know how much time you have. You don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. It's almost like you need someone to kind of say, hey, I got 3 weeks, but I think this no time off thing is kind of it's a little bit of a scam, personally.
All right, Mike. Well, we appreciate your thought. And Vivian, I mean, Mike raised one or two issues that I think you've sort of spoken to. But, here's someone else talking about it's like no time off by another name.
I think our employees had that fear sort of in the beginning. And, I think by us saying, I told you, I've taken 3 weeks this year, right? And our CEO will take 3 year or four, other people will too. Head of engineering, our head of corporate development is on vacation, this week and have taken other days this calendar year. I don't believe, at least in our company, the motivation for it was not to make people work more. The motivation for it was really to focus on results, and that we really believe we had really this phony accrual. And I personally found it was a fairness issue. Not everybody tracked their time as diligently as they should. I don't think they were dishonest. I think they just weren't good administratively. But then you've had the people that were very good about it. And so, what's the fair thing to do in that instance when some people have more vacation on the books and they've taken time?
Let's go to Amanda, who's calling from Groton. Hi, Amanda. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to comment on something that I haven't heard mentioned yet, I don't think, and that's that when companies don't track vacation, they're not accruing it on their books, they don't owe employees time for vacation not taken if those employees decide to leave the company.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, in fact, Vivian, when I was reading about this, this was actually presented as one of the benefits, is that you aren't carrying this big sort of untaken vacation on the books that you have to pay out to employees at the end, right?
That's right. And it is a liability for a company. What a lot of companies have done, even the companies that don't have unlimited vacation time, they require employees to take whatever they're going to take in that year, or you kind of a use it or lose it policy, because it does become a big financial liability for a company to carry on its books, particularly the larger employers. That's how IBM does it. IBM has a use it or lose it policy.
Yeah. Well, Fred, folks, compared to a use it or lose it policy, it seems like this would be fair, at least in that regard.
Well, some people, though, they have used it, but they will let you bank a certain amount of it, maybe a week, a year, or something like that. So you're not under pressure. God, I haven't used vacation. I've got to sort of take the whole month of December off, and the company needs you around in December. But I think, as Vivian was explaining, the most important thing is how these policies are administered and what's their real objective. And if there's clarity, you need consistency between managers and supervisors. If one person has done a great job and says, well, fine, be gone for the next 3 weeks. And another person says, well, you can't really be gone more than 10 days. We have a meeting coming up. I need to be need you here and stuff like that. So it's sort of that everyone is administering it in a way that's viewed as fair, because otherwise you risk of the damage to morale if it's different. And also there's the possibility of discrimination if certain people in protected classes aren't getting the same treatment that some other people are. So how you administer these things is also very important.
I agree.
Yeah. Question on, well, let's go to Kristen, who's calling from Marblehead. And Kristen, I understand you're the wife of a Veracode employee.
I am. And I have to say, we do truly love this new policy. I'm a working mom. I've got two little kids at home. My husband is an employee there who loves the company. And we feel very much respected by the company to know that if something comes up, like, medical procedure, something small, just like a doctor's appointment, we don't have to plan months in advance just to get a vacation day in order to do that, or if there's any kind of activities going on with the children.
Well, Kristen, let me ask you. Yeah, Kristen, I just want to ask you, because as you've heard, a couple of sort of pushback questions around this issue of, you know, does your husband feel free to take off as much time as he wants or needs, as opposed to pressure to keep on working?
So he's been in the tech business now for over 10 years. This is the first company that has said to him, leave your cell phone at home. We don't want to hear from you. You're on vacation. Go on vacation. Enjoy it. That's what it's for. The company has been like nothing but unbelievably supportive. And I feel like there's all this worry that that people are going to over abuse it or somehow take too much or keep sneaking out. But the truth is, you know, we're almost 40 years old. We know how to be good employees. We know how to work hard for a company. We don't want to lose the job. We like the job. We like the policy. We like feeling respected. And we use it appropriately. So when, you know, my mom and dad say, hey, let's go for a week next summer, we plan ahead. And then when something short comes up, like somebody needs to run to the doctors, we can do that too. We don't feel like somehow it's going to come down the pipe and we're going to be scolded for it later. So,
all right. Kristen, we appreciate it. We appreciate vote very much in favor of the idea of unlimited vacation. And Vivian Vitale, I saw you smiling knowingly as you were listening to Kristen there.
I was actually just pleased, and she was not a plant.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
And because, you know, we hope that it's achieving that result.
Well, Vivian Vitale is Executive Vice President of Human Resources at Veracode, a Burlington-based software firm. And Fred Folks, Professor of Organizational Behavior at Boston University School of Management. Thank you both for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Levi Felix, founder of Digital Detox. Thank you as well. It was a pleasure having you.
Our pleasure.
And listeners, stay with us. An exhibit at the Museum of Fine Arts features rare pages from the Quran and reactions from members of Boston's Islamic community. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. There's a lot more ahead. This is Radio Boston.